The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the earth.
Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host... Normal's outreach coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to the show. It is Monday, May 10th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Join us for the next 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining me to my left, the engineer pushing the buttons and turning the knobs, the maestro, Don Dragon.
Hey, everybody. How's it going today?
Oh, I had a good weekend, John, up there at the spring gathering.
I lived vicariously through you.
It was a lot of fun. We streamed it at live.normal.org. You got to see some of the panels, some of the concerts, some of the walking around. I hope you all enjoyed that. We've got a few clips from that today, too, that we'll be playing a little bit later. But before we do, let's welcome my co-host, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie. Oh, my goodness. We don't have Carrie on the line for some reason. Well, we'll have to get back to Carrie in just a second. But in the meantime, let me get to these clips here. We had some great clips. Of course, it was the B-Real and Tommy Chong spring gathering. Of course, B-Real was going by his alter ego of Dr. Green Thumb. And we got a few clips here. I think a really important clip from Tommy Chong. This is Tommy at a panel. They had a musicians panel and featured B-Real, Tommy Chong, Rory from Rebelution, and I forget the guy's name from Fishbone, but one of the guys from Fishbone. Really good panel. Let's start first with Tommy Chong explaining why marijuana isn't legal yet.
But, you know, the reason it's not legal is because people like us don't take voting and shit like that serious enough. You know, I mean, it's not legal because of us, really. You know, we trivialized it, and then when one of our partners gets busted or something, they say, oh, well, too bad. So that's what this event is bringing us together and becoming a force, you know, that political force, a voting force. And once you become a force where people's asses get them elected or get them kicked out of office, then you have a voice. And that's the only way we're going to get a voice is to vote this shit legal and then conquer the rest of the world.
He's absolutely right. And I'm hoping we can get Carrie back on the line here. I forgot to plug her in. Carrie, are you there?
I am here, Radical Russ and Ganja John. I was worried for a minute. You can hear me, right?
Yeah. It was something I've learned in my many years working in IT that these things work so much better when the cords are plugged in. Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after our first break. So, Carrie, what's in the news today?
Well, in honor of Mother's Day yesterday, we're going to talk about moms who are joining the fight for cannabis legalization. We're also going to look at some domestic terrorism against some dispensaries in the country. And most of the stashers already know this news, but we are going to go over the story of Mark Emery out of Canada. There's been some movement in the case.
Yeah, some sad news to report on the Mark Emery situation. We'll get to that right after our first break. And before we take the break, one more clip here from our spring gathering. This was a really good one. By the way, I want to give big thanks to Be Real out there for putting on such a great show. And also, Be Real gave a shout out to Normal Show Live. It was really cool. He saw me there with the laptop filming, and he points out and he goes, hey, I know you. Aren't you that guy with the Stick'Em show? I'm like, yeah.
My head exploded when he said that.
I know. It was beautiful. I was trying to find that clip in the recording before we went on air today, but I couldn't find it. But we'll get that for tomorrow. In the meantime, this next clip, this is Be Real and Tommy Chong talking about what we need to do once we do get it legalized.
This is a perfect platform to show people the support that this movement actually has. You know, this is a new event for us, and look at how many people showed up and to come see this panel and to hear what the hell is being said about legalization of medical marijuana.
Strength in numbers.
Yeah, you know, strength in numbers, and that's what this is to join all these like-minded people that believe in this cause. And who better to have up here, you know, doing it, man? Tommy Chong, goddamn. You know, he served time as an example.
I was thinking, too, you know, they got the Republican or the far right has the teabaggers. So we should create our own, or how about weedbaggers?
Weedbaggers.
We belong to the weedbagger party.
The weedbagger party.
And we believe in giving love and a bag of weed to all our neighbors. That has to be a part of our trip when we do get it legal. Let's have a one day where everybody just gives weed to someone that needs it.
We'll give a new meaning to the word sacrilegious.
I'm always a fan of a good pun. You can tell from my laughing there. Good work by Be Real there. We'll have more clips all throughout this week from the spring gathering down there in San Bernardino, California. It was a great gathering. Had a lot of fun with it. And we want to bring more of that to you. It's Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We'll be right back with our hemp headlines and Roots Monday Toker tune coming up at 20 after the hour.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 14 states today, and THCF has clinics in 10 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Michigan, New Mexico, and Rhode Island. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or call 1-800-723-0188.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
More moms are joining the fight to end cannabis prohibition. Yesterday, countless moms in the U.S. were treated with breakfast in bed, flowers, macaroni jewelry, and number one mom coffee cups tested nationwide. It was a great day for many cannabis law reform groups that are made up mostly of women and moms to get their message out. More and more pro-cannabis groups are looking toward women as the key to ending prohibition. Women were instrumental in repealing alcohol prohibition, and the success of groups such as Mothers Against Drunk Drivers that put numerous drunk driving laws on the books make women, and mothers in particular, a strong ally against cannabis prohibition. Sabrina Fendrick, the head of Normal's Women's Alliance, says that mothers who support legalization aren't quite willing to come out and say it publicly for fear of being labeled a bad mom, or worse, having their children taken away for their political opinions. The group's Moms for Marijuana was started by a young mother of two in Boise, Idaho. Sarah Frank, the now 27-year-old, started the group in 2005 and says that although they don't have a formal membership, their website has had over 12,000 different visitors. She said that your mother is your very first teacher and who you turn to for direction in life. Many activists say that it is easier to attend a public protest rally or lobby lawmakers than to tell their mother that they enjoy smoking marijuana. The new women's groups are trying to combat that. Denver-based group Safer Alternative for Enjoyable Recreation started a women's group, the Women's Marijuana Movement, this year, and they distributed the book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink?, to all female legislators as a Mother's Day gift this week, and had a news conference at the Capitol in Denver with speakers such as Safer's Executive Director Mason Tvert's mom, who said a few words. Safer also asked their members to come out about their cannabis use this Mother's Day and let your mom know that cannabis is safer than alcohol. They offered free online Mother's Day cards to help you with the words to tell your mom you support legalization. The cards start with, "Thank you for raising me to be thoughtful and compassionate." Then transition to, "I want to share some news that might surprise you but should not upset you. I believe marijuana should be legal." Many moms who use cannabis either medically or recreationally face a social stigma that men do not. Hopefully, the new groups that are organizing can help moms find their voice in the cannabis debate.
Well, the Women's Marijuana Movement started, announced by Denver-based Safer. That's always interesting to note, especially when we started the Normal Women's Alliance in January. What an interesting coincidence. And Jessica Corey, she was one of the charter members of the Normal Women's Alliance, and well, what do you know? There she is on the TV in Denver with the Women's Marijuana Movement. Hey, imitation's the sincerest form of flattery. I love it. And I've always said, I don't care what acronym you get behind. I don't care how many groups have to start. As long as we're all fighting to end marijuana prohibition, that's what's important. These mothers' movements are very vitally important to this movement. As we all know, alcohol prohibition was ended by a women's movement to end prohibition in that century. The Mothers Against Drunk Driving in the 80s were instrumental in getting tougher drunk driving laws and a 21-year-old drinking age. So we know that when mothers get behind something, it definitely gets legs. It definitely moves in the political mind. So thanks to all of the mothers who are coming out here to get involved, and we look forward to making some progress here in our laws.
And I just want to give, you know, I didn't get to see my mother this Mother's Day. She's in Florida with her new grandchild, so I just want to give a shout out to Ganja John's mom, Ganja Mom.
Ganja Mom.
Love you, Mom.
Love all the moms.
Two medical marijuana dispensaries in Billings, Montana, have been the target of vandals in the last 2 days. Big Sky Patient Care, a new dispensary in Billings, was hit Sunday morning, and a second dispensary was hit early today. Both incidents were similar and had the same message spray painted on the outside of their buildings. On Sunday morning, Big Sky Cannabis, a dispensary that has only been open for a few weeks, was firebombed and vandalized with the graffiti, "Not in our town," spray painted across the front windows of the store. Video surveillance of the incident shows two people outside the storefront about 5 a.m. While one of the suspects uses white spray paint to scrawl the statement in very large letters across the storefront, the other puts a flammable liquid on a rock, lights it on fire, and throws it through the front door glass of the store. This morning, around 4:30 a.m., a second store was targeted. Fire crews responded to a small fire at Montana Therapeutics on Grand Avenue in Billings. The same large message was painted across the storefront, "Not in our town." But this time, the criminals threw a rock inside first, and then a Molotov cocktail made with a beer bottle filled with gasoline and lit it on fire with the rag into the store. Montana Therapeutics is in a small strip mall and shares its space with two other non-cannabis businesses. The fire department responded quickly, and an initial estimate of the damage is around $2,000. Thankfully, no one was hurt in either incident. The bombings were obviously planned for their timing. The Billings City Council will vote today on a moratorium on any new medical marijuana businesses in their city. The city of Billings has issued about 80 business licenses for dispensaries in the town of about 105,000 people, although far fewer have actually opened their doors for business.
When you ignite an incendiary device and scrawl words of hatred upon a building that serves an entire class of people, I believe in our nation that's called a hate crime. Now, I know it's not going to get prosecuted as a hate crime here because only certain protected classes get that special treatment, you know, if we're talking about religions or ethnic groups or races. But this is as much a hate crime as any of those. This was designed to target a specific class of individuals, medical marijuana patients, medical marijuana caregivers, and to terrorize them into not opening up in Billings, Montana. I really hope the police take a look at this as they would look at any other hate crime, and the punishment that these perpetrators deserve, you know, they deserve jail time for this. This is ridiculous. This is again, discrimination, hate crime. I don't know how else to explain
terrorism.
It. Terrorism.
And unfortunately, today is the day for Canada's Prince of Pot, as Mark Emery's five-year battle against extradition to a foreign country, where he broke the law without ever setting his foot on its soil, is coming to an end. The extradition order to send cannabis activist Emery was signed by the Canadian Minister of Justice, Rob Nicholson. Emery kissed his wife goodbye and surrendered to Canadian authorities this morning. He is expected to be handed over to the United States this week. Emery was busted by a plea bargain for selling cannabis seeds over the internet, some of those seeds to U.S. customers. Mark spoke to reporters in downtown Vancouver before turning himself in, telling the press, quote, "If they send me away, it will anger millions of Americans and millions of Canadians, but I need them to be angry. Otherwise, we won't get any change on this drug war." Mark's lawyer and fellow marijuana activist, Kirk Toslaw, said that in all likelihood, Mark would be sent across the border by the end of the week, where he will eventually appear before a sentencing judge. Mark is expected to be sentenced to 5 years as part of a plea deal arranged with American prosecutors. Mark also told a small crowd of mostly reporters that he considers himself a good citizen and he has no regrets, working so hard for individual freedoms in his home country. American prosecutors allege he has sold about 4 million marijuana seeds through his magazine and website, and that 75% of those most likely went to customers in the U.S. Documents obtained by Mr. Emery's lawyer reveal that a U.S. undercover agent posing as a marijuana seed buyer worked in Canada to secure the criminal charges filed against Emery in Washington State. We now know that the agent was told by a store employee of Mark's how to smuggle seeds across the border to the U.S. According to documents obtained by Toslaw under the Federal Access to Information Act, it is alleged that the store employee told the agent that border inspectors do not conduct strip searches of females, so she should hide the seed somewhere on her body. The memo stated, the documents say that the DEA agent made several deals to purchase marijuana seeds in exchange for cash, and that Mr. Emery knew she was going to smuggle the seeds over the border. He was originally charged with conspiracy to manufacture and distribute marijuana and money laundering. Two of his cannabis culture employees were also accused, but the charges were dropped as part of the plea agreement. The minister memo states that the federal government has received more than 2,700 letters about Mr. Emery, and virtually all of them ask that Mr. Nicholson refuse to extradite him. If he is extradited to the United States, Mr. Emery hopes that he'll be allowed to return to Canada to serve out his jail sentence.
Aw, what a good widow, Canada. Do what we tell you, good widow, Canada. Thanks for being our pals, good widow, Canada. I'm so pissed off right now at the Canadian government for allowing this breach of their sovereignty to take place, okay? For what Mark Emery is charged with here in the United States, in Canada, he would be subject to at most a fine, maybe a month. In supervision, in custody, something like that. But here in America, he's going to spend 5 years. And not because the American, we here in America were going to get him as it was. The reason he made that plea deal is because we threatened taking down his partners and friends. And rather than see them take the fall, he's taken the fall for them. This is obscene. He's being charged here as some sort of major drug kingpin for selling seeds to people that wanted to buy the seeds, okay? This is ridiculous. And again, to come here into America and to be treated in American prisons, which are you know, we know what they're like here in America. This is just a shame. But Mark's got a point in that people need to be angry, and he's martyring himself here for the cause, although that's not the perfect word because martyr means to die, but you get my point, right? He's standing up to for the cause here, putting his own freedom on the line so that the rest of us will get angry enough to vote, angry enough to stop this insane marijuana prohibition that has countries giving up their sovereignty to the United States because we tell them what to do with respect to marijuana. All the way back to the 61 UN Convention Treaty, we have been bullying the rest of the world to follow our idiotic drug laws with respect to cannabis especially, and Mark is the victim of this. This is insane. This needs to stop, and we will keep you informed about what's going on here. Contact the Canadian Justice Ministry. We will have all sorts of phone numbers and websites and email addresses and physical addresses for you to mail. We will put all of that up on our blog at stash.normal.org so you can get in touch with these Canadian authorities. Tell them to uphold Canadian sovereignty. Tell them to not extradite Mark Emery. Okay, folks, time to get back to the happy place. It is that special time of day when we all do what we like to do. So roll yourself a fatty. We'll be right back after this, coming up with your Roots Monday Toker Tune.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a goof. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for that dope weed. Fire it up. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for that dope weed. Bully boy's a man. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for that dope weed. Flame on, flame on. Here's a lighter. If you burn buzz.
What's up, guys? I'm Rory from Revolution, chilling at the Spring Fest, San Bernardino, California. Just chilling at the Normal Live. Wanted to say what's up and keep it green.
Yeah, thanks, Rory from Revolution, for that. And also wanted to mention, coming up on the show today at the half past, we are speaking with Steele Smith. He is a federal medical marijuana defendant who may have a precedent-setting case here. We'll talk to him at half past. And at 45 after, we're going to get a live report from Craig Barish from Southern California Normal on the latest happenings in San Diego. It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by PlanetFantastic.com and Bella Blue Tie-Dye Fashions. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, we join back up with Cannabis Carrie up in Astoria, Oregon. And Carrie, today after the show, I'm re-recording all those song intros. So we'll fix that website. It's cannabisfantastic.com. Tell us what we got for a tune today.
Well, I hope we have Smoke Ring Days.
We do.
And there's... Oh, excellent, Ganja John. Okay, their song is called Transcendental Daisies. It's a really nice instrumental, folky, acoustic-sounding music, and I just love it. The group Smoke Ring Days was first formed in 1993. It's the product of the repairing of musicians Rick Apedio and Cindy Kiesner Posner, who have worked together previously as another group that was popular, the Barbarian Lovers. Now, the creative collaborators have been busy composing and recording. They're actually working on two projects simultaneously here in 2010. They've got this group, Smoke Ring Days, and they also have another group called Spice House, which is more sort of trippy, transcendental grooves. But today's tune is an acoustic-driven guitar mood music that delivers a nice melody, some easy hand drums, and it's the kind of jam session music you might have in your own living room if you happen to be really good musicians. You can check out some samples of their music, both the Spice House and the Smoke Ring Days, on their website, smokeringdays.com. And I forgot how to put a download link up there, but I will get that fixed today. So if you like this song, you can download it. In the meantime, just visit their website and check them out.
All right. This is Smoke Ring Days with Transcendental Daisies. We'll have the links up there at about 3 p.m. Pacific time, and you'll be able to download this tune. Enjoy your Roots Monday. This song is about 10 minutes long. You'll be able to get the full download up on our website once we have it up there. We're going to move on here and get to our calendar.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, check it at our cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Want to make some notes here about the USA Cannabis Cafe here in Portland, Oregon. There's been a change. We are moving the cafe to a new location east out in Gresham. It's going to be a much, much larger venue with more than just a cafe. We'll have a 14, restaurant.
14,000 square feet.
14,000 square feet, John says. That's absolutely right. 14,000 square feet with a restaurant, glass blowing, an office, a library.
And we'll actually be open to the public on the main floor, and the bottom floor is where the cafe will be, and it will be handicap accessible. That's as much as I know about it.
Yeah. So, we will keep you posted about the reopening of the Cannabis Cafe. The situation involved at the old location, I can't really go into it, but, we'll just say that you will be very glad that we left that location.
Yes.
Let's just leave it with that. Also, on our cannabis community calendar coming up this week, Monday, May 10th, the Southwest Michigan Compassion Club is meeting. You can check out minormal.org. There will be at the American Legion Hall in Buchanan, Michigan. Joseph Nunez is being sentenced today at the federal courthouse in San Diego. We'll be speaking with Craig Barish at 45 after the hour to get more information on that. And Madison Normal in Madison, Wisconsin is having their meeting at the Wilmar Center on Jennifer Street in Madison, Wisconsin. Check out madisonnormal.org for information on that. Tuesday, May 11th, a weekly medicating event at the Phoenix Cafe, Hazel Park, Michigan. Check out minormal.org. And Kalamazoo Area Compassion Club's having their meeting at Charlie's Place in Kalamazoo. KalamazooAreaCompassionClub.org for details. Hemp TV is on the air Tuesday in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Call 505-880-0666 for more information. On Thursday, May 13th, Pittsburgh Normal's having their monthly open meeting at the Ava Shadow Lounge facility in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Check out pittsburghnormal.org. On Friday, May 14th, we have Ohio Normal's Spring Encampment taking place at the Crazy River Ranch. Check out ohionormal.org for information on that. Also, Medical Marijuana Qualifying Clinic will be at the North Bluff Chiropractic Center in Gladstone, Michigan. minormal.org for information on that. Saturday, May 15th, Wisconsin Normal's having their statewide meeting. This will be at Mr. Ed's in Toma, Wisconsin. And Kansas City Normal's having their public meeting also on Saturday, May 15th. Check out kcnormal.org for more details. For the email addresses, names, phone numbers, contacts, maps, websites, and more for all of these events, check out Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar at norml.org/calendar. All right, coming up after this break, we'll be speaking with Steele Smith. He's got a federal medical marijuana trial coming up, which may set precedent for future medical marijuana trials. It's Normal Show Live. We're back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527. Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our normal daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations. All right, welcome back, everyone. 34 after the hour, and we're going to open up the Skype line here and see if we've got Cannabis Carrie on the line. Carrie, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. I don't think you can read my text.
I think that's what's happening.
Okay, I don't have your guest number. If you can put it in the Skype text, I will be happy to get a hold
of absolutely. We'll get that dialed out to you here in just a moment. We're going to be speaking with Steele Smith. He is a federal medical marijuana patient here, or not patient, but a victim, I should say, of the prosecution that's going down on patients all over this country. So I'll get this number to Carrie here. Sorry for the delay, folks.
It happens, guys. You know, sometimes we... Sometimes we're not entirely prepared, but I swear to God we haven't been medicating today.
I know. I think that's what the problem is.
I think that's exactly what the problem is. We're a little too sober over here. Yeah, it happens sometimes, but, you know.
All right. So I got the number to Carrie. We'll mute Carrie here for just a moment while we discuss this. But basically, Steele and Teresa Smith are being prosecuted. And if I understand the case correctly, Steele was telling me at the THC Expo that he may be one of the first here to be able to use his medical marijuana as a defense in federal court. So that's going to be very, very interesting when it comes to the trials in the future. As you know, the federal government doesn't recognize the medical use of marijuana. So every time these people go to court and they end up in proceedings, the judge forbids them from mentioning anything about their medical use of marijuana. Most recently, we had the case of John Ray Wilson in New Jersey, where he was forbidden not only to mention his medical use of marijuana, but also forbidden to even mention that he has multiple sclerosis. So it made it very difficult for him to mount any sort of effective defense. So, this would be a major change in federal law. Let's bring Carrie back on the line. We'll see if we've got Steele and Teresa available there. Carrie, we're back. And do you have Steele by any chance?
I think we might have lost Carrie.
All right. We may have lost Carrie. In the meantime, I'll tell you what we'll do is we will go to a break here and play some music while we get the connections put back together. You don't want to hear us talking about, are you there? Are you there all day? So John will just pull some tune up in the cart here, and we'll be back right after this.
If you want to win people over, you can't just drone on like Ben Stein. You've got to have a little more showmanship. Here, watch. Now everybody gather round and listen if you would. When I tell you every person needs a way of feeling good. Every kitty needs a ball of string and every dog a stick. But all you need is a bag of weed to really get a kick.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A bag of weed, a bag of weed. Oh, everything is better with a bag of weed. It's the only help that you'll ever need. Because everything is better with a bag of weed.
There you go, you're all getting it now.
When Texas people want to feel good,
they go assault a queer.
When stupid people need a thrill,
they rent the Rocketeer.
When Michael Jackson needs a rush,
he humps a guy like me.
Okay, coming back here, and we go back to our Skype line with Cannabis Carrie. I hope everything's worked out. Can you hear me now, Carrie? Carrie is not hearing me. Oh, our call is disconnected. What do you know? Hold the fun here with Skype. All right, we'll bring Carrie back on the line here, or maybe Carrie can call me.
Oh,
we're ringing. See what we can do. We're on live radio.
Live radio, guys. Sometimes this happens, and I swear to God it's not Ganja John's fault. It's the internet's fault.
It's the internet.
Oh, we got Carrie. Hey, Carrie, how you doing?
I am here, but now we probably have Steele Smith on another line. So let me try to add him one more time.
Yeah, okay. Let's just go ahead and do it live. We're going to do it live.
We're going to do it live.
Okay, hopefully he's not waiting and his line will be busy. We'll find out together. This is really fun.
Yeah, we're going to be like Bill O'Reilly here. We're going to do it live.
We're doing it live.
I think he is listening in the background. So Mr. Smith, if you're listening, go ahead and hang up and I'm going to call you right now.
Also coming up here, we hope, after this, we will go out to Southern California Normal and speak with Craig Barra. She'll have some more information on what's going on in the trials down in that area as well.
You remember the May 10th, 2010 Normal Show Live? It was a bust.
Yeah, it happens sometimes, folks. Yeah. We are trying our best here.
Yeah. Sorry about this, guys. Technical difficulties.
Tell you what, while we're waiting, I've got another clip from the spring gathering. We have one
from Fishbone.
From Fishbone. Let's hear that one.
Fishbone pulled up there. We pulled up today in the van, and I walked out of the building, walked through the big building over there. I walked outside, and I'm walking over by the lake, and I just see everybody casually smoking weed like it's all right. Like it's supposed to be like that.
Because it is all right.
Like you ain't got to worry about no police coming and asking you what you're smoking or what are you doing here, or let me see your driver's license. See, that's how they do it in Amsterdam. Everybody's just out there chilling. Ain't nobody stressing. You go buy your weed at the shop. You go kick it, smoke your weed, walk the street, do whatever you want to, and you don't even get messed with.
That was a great, great quote from Fishbone. He also had a poem that he read. We'll get that whole poem out for you.
That was a great poem, actually. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I've been a fan of Fishbone for a long time. Fishbone always breaking the mold, man.
Oh, yeah. Loving Fishbone. Yeah. All right, so we'll go back out to the Skype line one more time. We'll see if we can get Cannabis Carry out there. Just not
getting there. Oh, there we go. Wait, I think that's it.
Hey,
Mr. Smith, can you hear?
Hey, how are you?
Excellent. Okay, you guys take it away.
Oh, Steel Smith is joining us here from California. And Steel, we had some technical difficulties getting on the line, so I apologize for that. But welcome to Normal Show Live.
No worries, Russ. You're looking great today. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. That's the way live radio goes. You know, I was talking to the listeners here a little bit, and I was trying to recount what you had told me at THC Exposé about your case being possibly a precedent center for federal medical marijuana cases. Give our listeners the background on why that is the case.
Well, Russ, this case is unique and first in the U.S. history where a federal judge is being allowing the defendants to testify at trial a medical marijuana defense. This is not a legal defense. It is a testimony by us, those four who were indicted, as to what we were doing, why we were doing it, and how we were compliant with state law.
Wow. So you actually get to testify to your medical use. You know, we don't know how that will affect the federal court's decisions. But in the past, you know, we talked about John Ray Wilson not even being able to mention that he had multiple sclerosis. So this is a huge change.
You know, it really is. And we feel very fortunate because our judge is willing to step out on a limb a bit and allow us to present this medical testimony because considering the laws such that they are and considering Obama's recent words, we just feel that this judge is doing the right thing. I mean, at the end of the day, this judge doesn't have to do this, but it wouldn't be right if we were gagged from speaking to our jury as to why we were doing and how we were doing, you know, cultivating our medicine. And the other thing to keep in mind that's important about our case is that most of the federal cases prior to us are multiple count indictments, which mean that there's not just one charge. There's multiple charges. In fact, many of the cases are in the 10s, 20s, 30s, 40 charges. Mm. These charges range the span from money laundering to tax evasion to weapons possession to possession to distribution, all the charges that go on the side of the business that are the collective side of the business. The cultivation side of the business is typically just one or two counts, which would be cultivation or conspiracy to cultivate.
Yeah.
So if you look at government charges in two ways, there's the distribution side and the cultivation side. And because we were duly organized as a 501c3 and paying taxes and had all the city and state business licenses, we were not charged with the distribution part because then the government would have to state that we were in compliant as a collective, which would get into the grounds of why we were doing what we were doing.
I see.
So it's kind of interesting that we weren't charged with the distribution side because the government doesn't want to say they were distributing, but they were distributing legally under state law.
Right.
So they just failed to charge us with those. Now, leaving it with just the cultivation, well, the judge is allowing us to present a medical defense as to our cultivation so that we can counter the government's claims that we're drug dealers, we're drug cultivators, we were cultivating a large amount, and that makes us a public enemy number one sort of thing. They were even talking about RICO charges with this, and that's just completely wrong because there's nothing criminal about this. Yes, we're organized, but we're not we're not criminals. We're organized under state law. And this really is a 10th Amendment issue about states' rights.
Right. And this all comes down to your creation and running a dispensary or a collective down there in California, according to state law you're mentioning. And what are you facing as far as what the punishment would be if they found you guilty on these charges?
Russ, my wife, myself, and two other people. Remember, the other two people are a 21-year-old kid, 21-year-old at the time, he's 23 now, who has Elephant Man's disease. Mm-hmm. And he has a very rare form of an already rare disease contained only in his head. And for the 21 years of his life, he's had 23 surgeries to remove the bone spurs from his skull. And these surgeries are beyond people's imagination. He has his entire lid cut, his face pulled down below his chin, and then the doctor surgeon takes a hammer with a chisel to chisel these bone spurs off of his skull, put his face back on, sew him back up. Of course, he doesn't have any hair because he's, you know, it's been destroyed.
Sure.
And now at 21 years old, he's a good-looking kid, but he's disfigured to the point that 21 or 23 surgeries have taken their effect.
Yeah.
So he's had a rough time, and he's going to need these for the rest of his life. He's the third. The fourth is Dennis Lalonde. Dennis was a friend of a friend who was unfortunately homeless at the time. Because my wife and I had an extra room, we gave Dennis a place to stay for a little while. This was in October. We got indicted in November. We were headed into December. At that time of the year, back in 07, it was raining in October. Dennis was in the street, in the rain, cold, windy. He needed a place to stay, so we helped him out. Dennis had nothing to do with this. Dennis knew very little about what was going on. So those are your four people. My wife and I, Alex Valentine and Dennis Lalonde, are each facing 10 years.
My God. So this is...
Not one, not three, not five, 10 years.
Right. So this is Bonnie Domenis down there in San Diego. These people that are going against a guy with Elephant Man's disease, a homeless guy, and two people trying to provide shelter and comfort to these people. It's just insane when you break it down that way. It's so hard to believe. How are you holding up through this, you and your wife? What toll has this taken on your personal lives?
You know, Russ, I can answer that question, and if I could just kind of step sideways on that one for
sure,
a second,
sure.
Because that'll probably draw some tears just even talking about it. It's so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned that Bonnie Domenis down in San Diego. We're not a San Diego case, just to clarify.
Okay.
I know you guys have a lot of different, no problem.
Tons of cases.
we're in Orange County.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We're in Orange County. And if I could just give a quick background on how we found federal indictment.
Yeah.
We started our collective in Placentia back in 05. And in the city of Placentia, we lived in a small apartment upstairs, and downstairs we had a second unit where we ran the collective out of. The building was in an industrially zoned area of Placentia, literally where oil wells used to be drilled. So there was nothing wrong with our zoning or anything. To make a long story short, one day I had 18 mother plants in my garage. I had a friend over. It was a Friday. It was about 5 o'clock. We were being stupid. I went upstairs, and I forgot to close my garage. At about 5:30, 6 o'clock, the lights came on. Okay? I wasn't paying attention. The lights came on. We all know that beautiful spectrum of metal halide and sodium lamps glowing out of the garage attracted the attention of a police officer rolling down the street. And, of course, he stopped and poked his head in and had to elevate that and did to the drug task force there in the city of Placentia, which Placentia is a bedroom community in North Orange County that's tiny. If they have 10 cops on their whole force, that's it. So when we say their drug task force, it's kind of a joke because it's one guy with really no knowledge and a bun on for medical marijuana. So He proceeds to violate our rights, okay? These 18 plants get hacked down. I have maybe a pound and a half of finished medicine gets seized, maybe $1,000, and maybe a half ounce of concentrate, okay? It's really nothing. Oh, and our computers and patient files and other peripheral stuff. So they're in our house at about 7 o'clock till about 2 o'clock in the morning. These, and now there's about, but maybe it's the whole squad. You know, there's like 10 cops in our house. It's probably their whole bloody department. Hmm. They've gotten the district attorney for Orange County out of bed on the phone at 2 a.m. saying, and I can hear what the cops are saying to him because I'm there, I'm listening to them on my phone, and they say, we're in this apartment. The guy claims to be a collective. We're looking at paper, receipts, business licenses, records, collective agreements, but we don't know what to make of all this. We've never seen this before. Mr. District Attorney, what do you recommend on this? And he asks a couple more pointed questions, and over about another hour, the police leave. Literally leave. No charges, no nothing. They just seize all of our medication records and kill the plants. Okay. About a month goes by, and no charges are filed. And during that time, my wife and I filed a civil lawsuit against the city. And we filed that because they violated our civil rights, and then they refused to give us our medication and computers and product back. So we filed a civil suit against the city of Placentia. This is really key for people to understand that this is why and how we ended up under federal indictment. This is the big secret. We filed a $5 million lawsuit against the city of Placentia, Russ.
Retribution.
Exactly. Our civil attorney was winning. He had filed a couple motions with the civil court, and the judge granted our motions. Now, at the same time our Placentia case is going on, there's a case in Garden Grove that's now infamous. We've all heard of it, and that's Felix Kaw. Mm-hmm. Okay? Remember? Felix Kaw beat the city of Garden Grove, and he got about a $400,000 judgment, plus $200,000 in attorney's fees. Now, the $200,000 in attorney's fees is really important because it's one thing to get a civil judgment. It's another thing to get attorney's fees awarded on top. Very rarely are those awarded. And when they are, it's an egregious situation.
Yeah.
So when Felix Kaw won against the city of Garden Grove, he not only won against a fairly small city, but he won in an economy where that city cannot afford to pay that judgment. Now, you got a second case in the same county of the smallest city in the entire county, Placentia, facing five times the amount of what Felix lost.
Right.
Felix only got a quarter ounce of personal medication seized. I had over a pound, 18 plants, a lot more.
Yeah.
So our value's a lot higher. And with precedent from Felix's case and the motions that we've won, the guess what? The city attorney for the city of Placentia is now facing losing a big judgment in a bad economy. So this attorney has only one of two plans he can do. He can fight me and potentially lose, or he can call the DEA and say, if you indict these guys, then we lose what's called standing in the federal courts.
Oh, wow. That's
in order to sue, you must have standing.
That's
and
right.
If you are, I'm sorry, I'm just talking on here, Russ.
No, that's
there's
okay.
There's so much to this.
There's so much steel, and I do want to have you back on another show. We can go over it in more detail, but I am running up against the clock right here, and I apologize for the technical difficulties that prevented us from getting the full interview. But Steele Smith, thank you so much for helping. And before we let you go, give folks a website or some way they can contact you if they want to help.
Please check out steelscase.org, steelscase.org. That's steelscase.org.
All right.
And please watch the rally dates and please show up to the rallies.
All right, steelscase.org. We'll have that link up on the web as well. And my apologies also to Craig Barish. We're going to have to bump him till tomorrow because we're just about out of time. We're coming back with a little bit of radical ranting and the close of the show right after this.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers? You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
I thought I'd just go right into it, Russ.
I guess so.
Yeah, we didn't have much time, so I thought I'd give you as much time as we could.
Well, we said right after. We meant right after. Okay, just a little bit of thoughts here from the spring gathering I got back from in San Bernardino. And as I was there, it was really weird because I was on this panel to defend the Tax Regulate Control Cannabis Act of 2010, legalization in California. And I thought to myself, here I am at a medical marijuana expo, at a concert series with, you know, five or six 420 friendly bands and thousands of young people who are obviously supportive of cannabis, and I have to talk them into voting for legalization? It's just the weirdest thing. I should be as unnecessary as instructions on a comb when it comes to that. But I did kind of get a perspective. I've been to California now three out of the last four weekends. And one of the things I'm finding is that, you know, how are we going to convince these young people how important it is to get out and vote when for so many of them, it's got to feel legal now, right? I mean, they can go get their Prop 215 recommendation for $99 to $150, whatever. They can go to any number of dispensaries in their area and buy a huge selection of cannabis, much better than they ever were able to get on the streets. And at this concert that I was just at, there were people everywhere, you know, smoking, you know, sitting underneath the tree, sitting, you know, against the building, whatever, just openly smoking pot and not having any problems. So how exactly is it that we convince these young folks that it's in their prerogative here, it's in their best interest to get up on a Tuesday, fight LA traffic, head to some polling place, wade through all the dog catcher and water bureau, you know, races to find that legalization when they could spend that same time just going out to the dispensary, getting some weed and smoking up. It's important that these young people get motivated to get out to the polls because our biggest support is from young people. 74% support between the ages of 18 and 29 for this legalization initiative. And yet we find when the midterm elections come around, young people only come out to vote 1 out of 4 or 1 out of 5, depending on which one you look at. If young people do not come out for this, this is going to fail. So I'm giving a shout out right now to anyone between the ages of 18 and 25 in the state of California. Register to vote. And not only register to vote, but learn how you can vote absentee. In California, you can register to vote absentee, which means you can fill out your ballot and you can mail it in. You know, the sensible way to vote, like we do here in Oregon. You can mail it in and not have to worry about fighting traffic in L.A. For more information on all of this, check out taxcannabis2010.org. They've got information up there on how to register absentee so that you can get your ballot heard, get your voice heard, because young people, it's up to you. How many years have I been talking about this and heard young people say, man, they should just legalize it. When are they going to legalize it? When are they going to come and legalize it? When's Normal going to legalize it? When are you going to legalize it? It's on the ballot now. You can legalize it. And not just for California. You may think you have it good in California. In fact, you do have it good in California. But it's not that good in the rest of the country. It's not that good in Oklahoma. It's not that good in Mississippi or Tennessee or upstate New York or Madison, Wisconsin. All these places around the country where there are millions of cannabis consumers just like you who so desperately want to see this re-legalized and so desperately don't need to be harassed, arrested, thrown in jail, lives ruined over a plant. It's all up to the young people. And I know you can do it, young people. You were instrumental in getting Barack Obama elected. The 2008 election saw the highest participation of young people that we've seen in years. So I know it's possible. But if we come to November in 2010 and we find this Tax Cannabis Act failing in the polls, it'll be young people to blame. It'll be young people who think, I got's mine. I can already go to the dispensary. I got's mine. I got all the great weed I could ever want to smoke. I got's mine. Well, think about all those other people in all those other states who are depending on California. Because when California goes for this vote, the rest of the people in the country are not going to be looking at this as, oh, it was too small a limit here, or there was a technical problem with the language there. All they're going to hear is California voted yes, or California voted no, on legalizing marijuana. And if California votes no on legalizing marijuana, that'll be the first talking point out of the mouth of every prohibitionist, every law enforcement officer, everybody who lobbies against marijuana legalization in the other 49 states. Not just that, it'll also hamper the efforts to get medical marijuana in some of the other states. So California, please, please prove me wrong on this. Get out to vote. Motivate the young people. If you know someone of the ages 18 to 25, make sure they're registered. Take them out to register them. Teach them how to vote absentee. Check out taxcannabis2010.org. I'm Radical Russ for Ganja John and Cannabis Carry and everyone here at Normal.org. Thanks for joining us here for Normal Show Live. Replays at 3, 5, 7, and 9. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you